Good Monday morning, everybody. How you guys feeling this morning on a Monday morning?
Good. Not bad. It's not as hot as it was yesterday or the day before. So
not
far
yet.
This morning, not yet.
Not yet.
I mean, it was one of those deals, dude, it's like my face is going to burn off. It was crazy, hot. Right? I mean, it was just, God, you talk about, you know, Frisco Dining. I'm like, yeah, that's Frisco Dining. It's 7 o'clock, and it's like I'm in the middle of the ocean somewhere getting burned trying to eat. I mean, it was the craziest thing ever. And so, you know, but other than that, everything else is cool. You know, had good conversations over the weekend, and that's about all.
LZ, how about yourself?
Weekend was straight, man. You know, I bought myself a rower, purchased a treadmill. So I'm building out my home gym here.
I was just about to say, because it's like every week you're buying a piece of gym equipment.
Yeah, listen, man, first of all,
Don't you remember the story he told last week about his gym? Of course.
I was just getting ready to say, Keenan, you remember that story?
No, I don't know. Was I on?
Well, here. Let me give you the crib notes to it. Basically, the CEO of the gym I belong to, thank you for the music, by the way, first decided to challenge the governor when he said that he was going to shut down.
You don't need to. I got it.
There we go. All right. Okay. All right. Cut the music. So anyway. So I bought some more gym equipment because, you know, I got to keep it tight and right, brother.
Okay.
Well, we're getting to that point of the year. We're in the middle of that point of the year. Teams are in Orlando, guys. The bubble has presumably been sealed. We'll get to that coming up a little bit later. At least there are guys trying to poke some holes in it as we've already just barely gotten started. But the Lakers got on the court. They had a practice and – unfortunately, right out of the gate, some bad news. Rajon Rondo, a broken thumb. He's going to miss somewhere between 6 to 8 weeks. On the good side, 6 weeks puts you in there, you know, maybe towards the end of the second round of the playoffs. 8 weeks puts you probably somewhere into the conference finals, depending on how quickly he heals. So they might get him back, assuming that they're still able to stay in the tournament to that point. But unlike some of the other things that we've talked about, you know, Avery Bradley, for instance, opting out of the tournament, this is a really heavy blow for the Lakers. Not a fatal blow, but a bad, bad break for them yesterday.
No, it is. You got to think with that second unit and being able to be on the floor and engineering some stuff offensively. You know, he's one of the all-time assist leaders in the playoffs. I mean, it's tough. You certainly don't want to see him go out that way, but, you know, I hear people say, well, you know, they got cooked. There's Alex Caruso. But those guys are different in terms of what they do for the Lakers when they're on the floor. So when they're replacing those minutes of Rondo's and they're getting those minutes, it's not going to be the same. It's going to be a different style of play.
Yeah. Yeah, there will be. And I know a lot of people, and justifiably so, will immediately run to the plus minus when he's on the court and talk about how much better they are when someone else besides him gets those minutes. And the numbers are real. I'm not going to pretend like the numbers aren't there. But for me, there's still an eyeball test. And while the stats certainly give you one example that's very, very clear of what he does and doesn't bring to the court, I think the eyeball test will also give you something that's very clear. People know, Key, that when Rondo has the ball, you're going to eat. And there's just a different mentality when you know when the guy who has to rock is going to make sure you get a shot up.
No, and that's true as far as the regular season goes, right? His numbers or whatever, and people, he wasn't really doing what he's – I ain't worried about that. I'm going to look at what he's done in the playoffs. I'm going to go back to the last time that I could visually remember him being in the playoffs was when the New Orleans Pelicans played against Portland and him and AD was cooking.
Yep.
See, that's what I look at. You know, that's why you have veteran players in sports to be able to turn up the heat when the time comes. It's like, cruise control during the regular season. Then playoff time comes. It's a different switch for veteran guys. Veteran guys that know how to play, know how to do things in the tightest moments.
Think about this. There's a reason we have the phrase playoff Rondo, right? I mean, that phrase exists because he becomes a better version of the good version of himself in the playoffs. So playoff Rondo at best case scenario isn't showing up until we're nearly closing in on October. So that's the bad news there. The number one thing is with him too, for me, it's not the plus minus. It's not any of these other things. Dude's not scared. Dude has been through this so many times. He is exactly what you're talking about, Key. What do you got?
Breaking news. Washington tweets that the franchise will be retiring the name Redskins as well as the new logo. They just tweeted that out, so I wanted to make sure we got that in.
Good.
About time. It's 2020. I'm glad they got around to finally doing that, considering it's been that name since 1933. Good job, fellas.
And obviously we'll have more on that later.
Yeah, absolutely. Here, LC, I want to go back to what you said at the beginning about Rondo. There were times during the season, we'd all talk about it, that there were nights where Rondo would have a bad game. You're like, oh, man, that did not look right. But when they're at their best is when he's contributing and playing those minutes. What this does more than anything else is it puts even more on LeBron's plate. LeBron is already the one that has to initiate the offense the vast majority of the time that he's out there. Now, the few times that LeBron was not the one initiating the offense is when it was Rondo. And now without him, this puts more on LeBron. He's capable. He's done it before. He'll do it this time, and I'm sure he'll do it very, very well. But the more you redline LeBron's RPMs, the more difficult it is to get anything else from other guys because you've already maxed him out. They're going to have some, whether it's Waiters or any of these other guys, somebody's going to have to pick up just a smidge of whatever it is that's there because LeBron can't do everything, and he's going to pick up most of this.
Well, the funny thing is, or the interesting thing is, if I was in the movie business, I would be writing an entire movie right now about the rise of Alex Caruso. Someone who was in a two-way contract just a year ago, who has worked his way up, and now he has not elevated himself to the point of being perhaps the fourth most important Laker. And this is why. He's the one, when I look at the roster that we have, between Dion Waiters, between J.R. Smith, obviously KCP, Caruso is the one that's most capable and most reliable to step in as a Rondo type of player to run the offense. He's probably not going to be in the starting lineup now because he's going to slide into that position that Rondo has coming off the bench and making sure other people can eat. And he's not very bad in terms of shooting those corner threes that, you know, LeBron James likes to have available to him towards the end of games to keep the spacing going. So Rondo is out, and that definitely hurts because playoff Rondo is a real thing. If you don't believe me, just know that of the four last times he appeared in the playoffs, he's averaging basically a double-double in points and assists and very, very few turnovers. So when you think about what Rondo does, out of the people we have, Caruso's the one that I would trust most to try to supplant that role in terms of setting up other guys. It's incredible that he's elevated like this, a guy who wasn't drafted and just kept working and working and working. And now, by happenstance, here he is.
Yeah, he doesn't seem like this moment will be too big for him because of how he has grown up in, you know, from the G League to the NBA. He continues to get better. He continues to, I don't want to say amaze you, but continues to do things to put himself above the rest. Like, he's a, you know, that phrase, hard worker, comes to work on time, does everything the right way.
First one in, last one out.
All of those sort of things fits him perfectly. The only thing that is concern me is the lack of playoff experience versus a guy like Rondo who's played in multiple playoff games throughout years. That's the only thing. But I don't think the moment is too big for him. I just need to see it when it happens.
No, I don't think that Alex Caruso is going to be anything other than a pretty good player for them in this moment. If they give him a little bit more, great. He's proven that he's ready for these moments. He's battled his way into the position, like you were saying, LZ. This is not somebody who just got brought in from somewhere else and hasn't been around. He's been around. He knows the team. He knows what it's like to play with LeBron. He knows what he's like to play with these other players. So he'll be fine. I'm not worried about him. But I think, you guys tell me if you agree with this or not, it's going to land on LeBron. LeBron's going to be the one that's going to take those minutes, because as much as we'd like to see, whether it's Quinn Cook or Alex Caruso or whoever's going to pick up some minutes here and there during those eight regular season games, and maybe pick up some minutes here and there against Memphis in the first round, if that's in fact who the Lakers end up playing in the first round, that's one thing. But once you get into that second round and the conference finals and the NBA finals, and we'll see whether Rondo's back or not, it's going to be on LeBron. LeBron's already the point guard of that team for about 40 of the 48 minutes anyway. And now instead of 40, it's probably going to be 45 or 48, that he's just going to have to do it pretty much every single minute of every single game once you get beyond that first round of the playoffs.
Well, listen, you're right in the sense that LeBron James is going to have more responsibilities. But if you're looking for someone that can allow LeBron James to have somewhat of a rest while on the floor, that was what Rondo did, and this is what Caruso is going to have an opportunity to do. You know, don't get too enamored with the number of minutes played, because LeBron James is really good at monitoring his pace while on the floor. Mm-hmm. So while, and I know some people may think that's shade, that's not shade, because if you got another guy who can cook, that allows you to catch your breath offensively, and every single player who's great or not great does that. If you don't have the rock in your hand, depending upon what the play in the side of the floor, you can catch a little bit of a breather. And LeBron James is really good at that. But with that being said, whether Rondo is healthy or not, this is all about Bron. AD has the luxury of knowing that any playoff failure is basically going to be on LeBron's shoulder. He's the one that's going to have the brunt of all the criticism, because he's the one that the purports to be in the GOAT conversation. And they're the favorites for a lot of people. And so there are a lot of people that are looking for the team to come up short, and ain't nobody trying to hear Rondo was hurt.
Well, that, by the way, that's a really good question. Are they still the favorites? Are they still the team to beat once we start these games without Rajon Rondo for 6 to 8 weeks? We'll get into that. Plus, Key just mentioned it. Washington in the NFL has a new name, or at least they do not have their old name. We'll get into that as well. It's coming up on the morning show on 710 ESPN. So at least by Vegas standards, the Lakers were the favorite going into the bubble, right? They were the betting favorite to win a championship under the new coronavirus bubble format. Now no Avery Bradley, now no Rajon Rondo, at least Rondo for a period of time. Do you guys see it the same? Do you guys still think that the Lakers are the team to beat, or Milwaukee jump ahead, the Clippers jump ahead?
As long as they still have them two dudes, I'm good.
That's it?
For me. I mean, because everybody else was – they got – first of all, they got three dudes that to me really, really matter. LeBron, AD, and Dwight Howard. The other guys matter as pieces around those three at times doing games. But as long as you got the two big enchiladas, you good.
Yeah, I mean, obviously what I say, you know, before the break was that, you know, this is always going to fall on LeBron's shoulders. And I still feel that way, even with AD. Because raise your hand if you can remember the number of times Jordan was on the floor with Pippen and it was Pippen's fault.
Right. Well, after watching The Last Dance, a few more than I remembered before, but I understand your general point. Yes.
You know what I'm saying? And ultimately, it's like, but what did Mike do? You know, and it's like, even when you debate dudes who are clear LeBron haters and they don't want to give it up to them, they blame LeBron for the playoff losses or the finals losses against the Golden State Warriors, even though you can't find a single a series in which LeBron didn't show up. In fact, LeBron got votes for Finals MVP one of the years they lost, mm-hmm. because he was just so damn good. But at the end of the day, you know, it's always going to be about him. He knows that. Everyone on the team knows that. And so as long, to Key's point, as long as that dude is healthy, you know, we all right. We all right.
Yeah, if you told me, hey, man, you know, LeBron cracked his nail, he's out 6 days. Well, it's a wrap.
Exactly. You know,
but that's not the case.
There's also the Kyle Kuzma question. Kyle Kuzma was at his best. And again, it's been such a long time.
I forgot all about him. I ain't heard his name in so long.
When he finally started to get going a little bit was when he was playing with Rondo, that it never really fit great with LeBron. It was okay at times, but we were always kind of like, okay, when's he going to get going? When's he going to get going? Fact of the matter is, with LeBron out there, with Anthony Davis out there, there's just not enough shots for Kyle Kuzma to do what he does. Kyle Kuzma was getting his shots when Rajon Rondo was out there with him, because Rondo's not really looking for his shot first. He's looking to set other guys up first. Now, with him gone, Kuzma's either got to learn a new guy, whether that's Deion Waiters or whoever they might slide into that role as that temporary point guard for a handful of minutes here and there. But this affects Kuzma. The trickle down is everybody but LeBron and AD. Everyone else now has a very different role, or at least a different role to try to deal with without him. And Kuzma's a perfect example. He's not going to have to go play point guard, but who's ever getting him the ball has a different role, and that affects Kuzma directly. The two guys at the top are still the two guys at the top. But once you get past that, everything else got very different yesterday.
Yeah, but it has to be a point where the excuses for Kyle Kuzma to find his shot and all that, it has to go out of the window. You know, it's about time to step up. It's about time to stop making those excuses. It's about time to not worry about those things and put in the buckets when you get the ball in your hand. Don't, because we've been talking about this for a while now about, it has to be perfect. He can't play with this person or that person. No, I don't see it that way. If you could score, you could score no matter when they put the ball in your hand, no matter how late it comes. If you're a scorer and that's what you do, then that's what you do. I mean, it shouldn't be I got to have a Rondo to be able to do what I need to do, or I got to have X amount of touches to get warm to do what I need to do. No, if you're on the floor with AD and you on the floor with LeBron, whenever they give you the ball to shoot it, shoot it. If you ain't getting number five touches,
yeah, but if you're getting better shots with one guy than the other, Key, if Rondo's
putting your position,
make easier buckets.
I understand that part, right, Travis? But the limited touches that you do get, make them count. Make them count. Don't sit up and wait till your 12th touch to finally start cooking.
You guys think that we'll get an answer to this question when they play those eight, air quotes, regular season games? Because we're already talking about, okay, they got to figure out the Avery Bradley piece. You just drop one of the other guys in there. Now you got two things you need to figure out, two important things that you need to figure out.
I feel like this is actually one of the easier things to figure out because of, Caruso's skill set and his mentality. You know, when you really think about it, he's a guy who can get his own shot. Obviously, we know he can get it to the rack and is fairly athletic once he gets there. He knows how to run the offense. He plays fantastic defense. Rondo's the better player. But the drop-off isn't as significant as, say, like some other drop-offs, like between like AD and Kuz. Like that's a greater drop-off to me than Rondo to Caruso. So I feel as if, Caruso's assimilation in Rondo's minute is going to go smoothly. I think it's going to be fine. Caruso flourished towards the end of last season when there weren't healthy bodies, and there were teams that they faced that were still fighting to play for something. So it wasn't like he was getting fed off of teams who were also, out of it. He was playing against teams that had something to play for, and he looked pretty good. So I'm confident with, the Caruso thing. And as far as, assimilating the other players, Deion Waiters and J.R. Smith, without the presence of Avery Bradley, we know the minutes are going to be there. But as long as LeBron James is on the floor with those new bodies, you ain't got to worry about them. You just
always
don't.
Comes back to LeBron. It always comes back
exactly.
to him. No matter what else is going on, it comes back to him. Key, you mentioned it a minute ago. There is an official statement from the Washington NFL team on July 3rd. We announced the commencement of a thorough review of the team's name. That review has begun in earnest. As part of this process, we want to keep our sponsors, fans, and community appraised of our thinking as we go forward. Today, we are announcing we will be retiring the Redskins' name and logo upon completion of this review. Dan Snyder and Coach Rivera are working closely to develop a new team name and design approach that will enhance the standing of our proud tradition, rich franchise, and inspire our sponsors, fans, and community for the next 100 years. So it's gone. We're not going to see it. We're not going to see the logo. We're not going to see the name. We don't know what the new name's going to be, but quite frankly, good riddance. It's way overdue.
And I get to keep my $50 million that I'm going to make this year. So that works out perfect for me. That just works out just perfect. I get to keep the $50 million from all the sponsors. My partners are happy. The NFL is happy now. Now I can just go on my merry way. That's Daniel Snyder. That's what he's thinking. because this was a straight money play.
This has nothing to do with him seeing the light. This is
the
guy fought the thing all the way to the end.
But once he got that pressure, at the end of the tunnel, and at the end of the tunnel is the damn bank.
Once he got that pressure put on his little butt, he started saying, "Yeah, you know, it's probably, yeah, they're gonna take away how much money? Oh yeah, well, that name's not worth it. It's like anything else, Travis." When the pressure is applied, people will start to move, okay? That pressure wasn't applied years ago when people wanted the name change, when he first bought the team, when LZ wrote his little column. There was no real pressure.
That was pressure.
There was no real pressure. There was no financial risk. Once the financial risk came in and him and his staff and his financial people started doing the calculations and they started realizing, I got one of my owners who's a minority owner but has a lot of heavyweight. He's giving me this FedEx brand of $200 million. I'm not trying to make him mad, nor am I trying to lose that sponsorship. And the rest of the NFL owners put some pressure on him as well because it starts to affect the league. See, not just Washington, but the entire league. So 31 other teams was ultimately going to be affected by Daniel Snyder's decision.
Which is, you know, very, very par for the course when you know the history of this franchise. Because years ago, when the racist owner who named his team the racist slur didn't want to integrate the team, it took the other owners, the commissioner of the NFL, as well as the federal government, to literally just force him to integrate the squad because he wasn't going to integrate. And it took all the money pressure, and it also took the political pressure to get him to allow a black person to join his team.
And here you are,
the same thing, but Dan Snyder's basically just doing the same thing.
He should have kept the team. The dude should have just kept him, do however he wanted him. And let's see how that was going to work out for him, long haul.
At some point, practicality kicks in, right?
Yeah, right. Let's see how that worked out. Travis Rogers lining up at running back, Travis Rogers at receiver and corner. How that look?
Probably not great. Probably not good. You wonder what the new name's going to be, too, if there's a little wink to the past, whether they go with something similar, or do you just go in a totally different direction?
I think they're going in a totally different direction because
they should.
You can't get cute. See, now you.
Yeah, but if you do something like Warriors or something like that, you're getting a little cute.
That's what I'm saying. You don't want to get cute. Yeah. You cannot get cute. You just got to distance yourself.
All right. Unfortunately, when you speculate, sometimes you actually get it right. That's what happens with the Dodgers and Kenley Jansen. That's coming up next on the morning show on 710 ESPN. So we started asking ourselves, why is Kenley Jansen not with the Dodgers when they reported for their summer training? And one of the most obvious guesses was, well, he might have coronavirus. Turns out he had coronavirus. Initially tested negative after his son tested positive. Then in a follow-up exam, he tested positive again. Quote, it is real. Everyone in the world, just take it serious. Wear your mask. Trust me, it happens so fast. So this is the Dodgers obviously having a guy like Kenley Jansen go down for a period of time with this is a big deal because of the position he plays and how important he is to the success of that team. But this is just going to be life in Major League Baseball, where you have guys that are out in the world, their kids are out in the world, their spouses, girlfriends, and whoever are out in the world. Guys are going to be dropping left and right.
Yeah, when I did initially think about the coronavirus, I thought they were trying to keep him, because of his heart condition, keep him away from everybody until, you know, everything was checked out. The furthest thing in my mind is that he had contracted the virus, but it turned out, like you said, that was the case from his 4-year-old son. But he's healthy again, you know, and as he said, this thing is real. So people that are out there that think it's not real, beware. You know, it's good to see that he'll be able to get back in gear and be able to pitch for us later on down the line.
Yeah, I didn't mention that I got my coronavirus test this weekend. And, you know, when you're covering the type of events that I cover and you're surrounded by people and you can't social distance, it's the only responsible thing to do. So I said that to say, you know, the testing wasn't necessarily even for me. Like, I felt fine. I knew I was practicing, you know, responsible behavior when I was in crowds with my mask, and I carry hand sanitizers with me everywhere. Key knows that. I always have my hand sanitizer with me. But you need to make sure, not just for you, but for your loved ones as well, that you're good. And, you know, with Kenley's example, you know, one test positive, you think you're good, and you just need to make sure, man. You just need to make sure. That's the responsible thing to do.
He said he got the virus about 3 weeks ago, and then he began to feel better by the fourth day. And keep in mind, I know the kid, we kind of kid every once in a while, like Kenley's such a big guy, but this is a guy that presumably is about as healthy as you could be, right? He's a professional athlete who's getting ready to enter another season, and that this is wiping him out for 3 days, this is not nothing. And all of a sudden, if you are one of these people that's in a higher risk category, which he happens to be, like you mentioned, Key, with his heart condition, this is just going to be life in Major League Baseball for however long we have it. And hopefully we get really lucky and it's just a guy here and there. You go into quarantine for a couple weeks, you get better, you come back and you keep it moving. But I have a feeling that this is just going to be the way that these teams operate, that every, you know, week or so, you're going to hear about another guy getting infected, another guy testing positive, another guy having to miss some time. And this comes back to where the 60-game season is such a weird deal, because you just don't know who you're going to have and for how long and for any period of time. That you could be cruising along, you miss the wrong two guys, go down for a couple of weeks, and the entire season, and I'm not talking about the league, I'm talking about your team. Like, if the Dodgers lost Cody Bellinger and Mookie Betts for 3 weeks, season's only, you know, 8 weeks long. You just don't know what could happen with this kind of stuff. And I guess if there's a silver lining, it's better now than later. But that's a very, very, you know, thin consolation to what we're talking about.
Yeah, no, it is better now than later. And I was going to say, this is why not having Major League Baseball in a bubble is so interesting, because the Dodgers and Kenley Jansen was able to catch it before training camp started. And if they didn't catch it, let's say all of a sudden Kenley's son – gets sick the week of training camp, then all of a sudden Kenley goes in to training camp and now he spreads it amongst his teammates. Mm-hmm. So that's the interesting thing, is he's dealing directly with his family, and his son catches it, he now gets it passed to him, but we catch it before we have to start Major League Baseball all over again. And this is why, where in the NBA bubble, it seems like Coach Popovich said, it's probably the safest place to be right now, because everybody is checked out. Everybody's cool as of now. There's nothing weird going on. Nobody, you know, nobody's in the bubble that has contracted the virus, and you can catch it before you enter the bubble. Where in this case, in Major League Baseball, they're still going home to their family. They're still moving around. Right. They're still doing a lot of things and going back to the players and playing in games. That's the difference, though. And if Major League Baseball would have put it in a bubble, they probably could have get through a whole entire season. Now, with this sort of thing going on, it's like, well, they probably won't even get through them 60 games, man.
It seems unlikely.
It seems unlikely.
Yeah.
It definitely seems unlikely, especially if you have anyone within your body who doesn't feel the need to follow the protocols to the T.
Well, it ain't even that you got to follow the protocols. His son didn't do nothing wrong, right? I mean, he didn't do nothing wrong. He's around his son. So he's following the protocols. He's at home. And it happened.
No, if you're not sequestered, you're exposed to everybody you come in contact with, family members and otherwise. I mean, if you are not – the bubble is why I'm optimistic for the NBA. Because even though I think that people may sneak in or sneak out, we can talk about that coming up.
Well, we're going to talk about that.
The idea of everybody being in there, at least from the jump, makes some sense.
Absolutely.
This makes less sense. I guess another good part of this, too, is that because he's a relief pitcher, because he's a guy that usually typically only pitches one inning at a time, the on-ramping for him is not going to be as challenging as if, for instance, a starting pitcher got shut down for 2 or 3 weeks. And now all of a sudden, you've gone from maybe you've stretched him out to 80 or 85 pitches. Now he's back down to 60 or so. And now you got 2 innings to cover. With him, he can get up to his, 15 or 20 pitches an inning pretty quickly. They can replace him. I shouldn't even say replace him, but they can get him ready to go much quicker than you could get a starting pitcher ready to go.
You think he was throwing at all while he was?
He better have been, right?
I'm sure hope so.
Yeah. I mean, if he wasn't, then they don't need him anyway, because there's
no way you're gonna crank
this thing up in 2 weeks.
No, because people think, you know, when you're sick that you're down and out. Like, you're not.
Oh, you're talking about while he was sick with the virus key?
No, okay, so he went through it for 4 days. As he got better, he didn't come around the team. Do you think he was throwing when, once he got better?
I bet he did.
I'm sure he did. Yeah.
Kershaw, I'm sure he did. Kershaw stretched out pretty good too, guys. He's already into the sixth inning in some of these simulated games. He's thrown 91 pitches in a workout as well. So, you know, they may be in a good spot with him. That Kershaw could take that opening day start, which is, by the way, coming up a week from Thursday against the Giants.
That's awesome.
Maybe he pitches into the sixth or seventh inning and takes at least every fifth day. You get somebody that takes some of the pressure off of your bullpen.
Yeah, remember I told you, though, Travis, I said they're going to try to get everybody as in mid-season form. I kind of felt that. I felt that they would push it to have everybody start to feel like mid-season, even though it's the start of a season with only 60 games, that they would change that clock on them.
Kershaw is not the guy I worry about. You know, he's been around the block a million times. He knows how to get rid of the younger guys. We'll see how that shakes out as well. All right, another edition of the Snake Draft, our favorite old-school horror movies, coming up next on the morning show on 710 ESPN.
That's right, guys. You know what that music means. It's time for a little morning show fun. We're going to hit you hard on a Monday. Now, we do have some business to take care of, as last week, Keyshawn gets his eighth victory in the bar fun game.
Yeah, all right. No one played my song. All right, there it goes. That's enough, Jorge. I got it. I got my
yep. Pool, axe throwing, ski ball. So he has now. And Travis was second with 33% of the vote. Keyshawn won with 39. So you were close, Trav, but not quite there. But LZ still in the lead with 9 victories. But that brings us.
Him after the day.
Okay, we'll see. That brings us into this week. I was checked out a old school horror flick. I won't say which one it is to sway the voters at all. But I wanted to know your favorite old school horror movies. You know, you used to sit back and, you know, and always be the white guy fall or white girl falling when they run. You know what I mean? You had to get away and they fall down. Without doubt, every single one.
And if a brother was in there, he died within the first 10 minutes.
Oh, yeah. But he's going first.
Brother's going first. That's right.
Two quickest ways are to be black or to be having sex. Those are the two ways you get killed in a horror movie.
Yes. Yeah. They had a formula and they followed it to a T. I love the boy. So anyway, that brings us to today. Old school horror movies. LZ, you will bat lead off here. What is your favorite, your best,
it's
your scariest, however you want to do it, old school horror movie? Hit me.
I'm just going to come right out the gate with that noise, that sound. As soon as you hear it, you know who it is.
Yes.
Yeah. That's like Friday the 13th, baby.
That's right. Okay. Right. To this day, when that date comes up, everyone knows. You know what I mean? You make reference
everyone
to this movie.
Everyone knows.
Woo. All right. Friday the 13th. That's the number. That was definitely a one seed. So, Keyshawn, follow it up. What's your favorite old school horror flick?
Well, you, LZ took mine, but I could go in this direction. I don't know if you guys remember The Fly.
Oh, that's a good one. Yeah.
The Fly, 1986. Yeah. It was like, man, I don't want no flies getting on me. This is
I think third place is wrapped up, ladies and gentlemen, but that's okay. Travis, that'll bring us to you. Obviously, you had some choices you didn't think you'd have. But you got back-to-back picks. You know what this is.
I thought I'd take The Fly as my fourth pick and just kind of slide it in there because it was a little creepy. But I guess I'll have to scratch that off. I'm going to take Halloween.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Still has that sinister sound.
The Michael Myers, the music, that mask, and they're still making those movies, you know, 40 years after the original. So I'm going to take Halloween, number one. I'm also going to go with another classic, legendary, scary guy, Freddy Krueger, Nightmare on Elm Street.
I quit. Keyshawn, you messed this all up.
I got a different strategy.
My strategy is different.
Go ahead.
You let him get both of those.
Yeah, I didn't want Halloween, nor did I want Nightmare on Elm Street. Because after you get past the first ones of each one of them, maybe Halloween gives you two or three. But after you get past Freddy Krueger initially, all that stuff goes in the trash.
Well,
man.
I didn't take the rest of them. I just took the first one.
No, you got to have the whole. You got
Freddy goes. It goes Freddy, It goes Michael.
No, it doesn't.
And it goes Jason. Jason.
No, it doesn't.
Those are the three. You let him get two of those three.
No, no.
Yeah.
Right, nope. So don't worry about. Don't worry about my picks. Damn it.
LZ, is this the first time ever you're going to vote for my list?
Yes. Listen, I just assumed he was either going to pick Michael or Freddie because you're supposed to spread, you let him get LeBron and AD.
I'm with you. I thought the first three, I didn't know the order, but I figured those would be the first three, and then you guys battle it out after that. So, Keyshawn, tell us the rest about tell us the rest of your plan here. What do you got?
Okay, so I'm taking one or two.
You're taking one. You're in the middle. You're in the sandwich.
Okay, so I am going to take Aliens.
Okay.
1986 again. Old school, baby. Those are the movies. Those are the movies that terrify me. You know how Travis says things that he's happy with? These are the things that terrify me. Jason and Freddie and them in the beginning, Freddie ain't even real. Okay.
None of them are real.
They're all fiction. They're all sci-fi, but that's okay. LZ, that brings us to you. You got back-to-back picks here because you know what it is.
It's a snake draft. All right. Yeah, so this one, you know, this movie, it didn't have a lot of suspense as much as it had gore.
Yeah.
But it's a classic, and it's been remade over and over and over again. It's the Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
That's a good one.
Is it in the Lone Star State? Okay.
There you go, baby.
That's right.
The Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Yeah. All right, what do you got for your third pick here? We're going old school horror flicks, people, in case you just tuned in.
And then with this one, I'm going to go with Rosemary's Baby.
Oh, that's a creepy movie, man.
It's creepy as hell. Scary. I can't even – you know what? It was actually an option that was on, I think, Netflix when I was sweeping through. And I looked at it. I was like, oh, yeah, I can't watch that still.
All right. So, Keyshawn, that brings us to you. You have a plan. We'd love to see how this is going for you. But your first pick was The Fly. Second pick for you were Aliens. So, where are you going with your third pick?
We're going to go with one where there's a little bit of possessing going on here. It's not Poltergeist by any means of the imagination. It is Exorcist, okay?
Yeah, that's a good
choice. Is that big enough for you?
That's good.
Because anybody that's talking about old school, when you got Halloween still making movies, that's not old school.
Anyway. The original one's 45 years old, so I feel good about it.
Yeah, but The Exorcist, that does stay with a lot of people. I think that stuck with people. So, yeah, it's a nice one. All right. I mean, they have the scene, obviously, with the head spinning, or some people kind of don't forget that one. All right, there we go. Travis, these are your final two picks. They're very pivotal because you got back-to-back picks. You know what time it is.
Okay, so I'm going to take – this one was kind of campy, but it's still a movie that I see. If I'm flipping around and I see it, I'll stop and check it out for a few minutes along the way. I'm going to take American Werewolf in London.
Ooh, see, I remember the first time seeing
that. That ain't no scary movie.
Oh, yes, it was.
I'm going to take American Werewolf in London. And then for my final pick, I'm going to go with a classic. And not like scary in the sense that something was going to jump out at you the whole time, but just creepy and weird in that sense. I'm going to take The Shining with my last pick.
Okay, that is in a horror section. Okay, all right. So there we go. So, Keyshawn, your final pick here. The Fly 2 is still available. I think they made a sequel.
No, you probably didn't ever see The Fly. But anyway, I'm going to go, since you want to go young and you always want to stay with the young crew and whatnot, Scream, Scream, Scream. I'm going to take Scream.
Okay. All right, there we go. LZ, you can wrap this one. We might set a record here with the lowest percentage of vote. I'm not saying which thing, but that's fine. Yeah, which screen? Because there's three. One, two, or three?
The first one. I don't take the old, the second, and the third.
No sequels.
The sequels. All right. Garbage.
All right, okay. LZ, the final pick there. There's still one out there that I thought would be picked earlier, but that's fine. We got some choices there. Where are you going? Your final pick of our old school horror flicks.
Oh man, I'm gonna go with Salem's Lot.
Oh yes.
Oh yeah, that's a good one.
Oh, his friend coming to the window still. Oh my goodness. Oh man, that was the scariest thing.
It's the scariest.
Not very many people seen that.
It's the only movie that made me not want to be a vampire. But usually, I come out on the other side like, yeah, you know, I'd be a straight vampire. Shoot, when I saw Lost Boys, oh, I wanted to be a vampire for real.
Yeah.
But Salem's Lot, I was like, man, this ain't fun. That looks scary.
Raj wanted you to pick Jaws.
Well, I'll say this. It's funny you said that Jaws was the one that screwed me up the most. Like, Jaws, I didn't go in the ocean for 10 years after Jaws. That was way too much. Way too real. Way too much. Like, the idea of me falling asleep and getting attacked in my dreams, kind of scary, but probably not going to happen. None of that stuff. But the idea of some ravenous shark just being just off of the beach, that's way too real.
So, yeah, a couple left off. I'm surprised no one took Poltergeist. I know it was mentioned earlier, but that was pretty scary. So that was a little shocker. Man. That still, they'll be a free agent, I guess. No, Poltergeist didn't hit you guys? All right. But
the tree in Poltergeist was terrifying. Reaching through the window to grab the kid. That was messed up.
But that was a badass kid, though. What did he pray? He probably put his name on a tree and stuff, and the tree remembered it.
There's several. How many of your heart didn't get picked?
Yeah, no, there's some good. There's good ones out. It's hard to pick. I'm glad we had a lot to choose from. So, of course, you can go on ESPN Los Angeles on the Twitter feed, and Janice will post the poll, and you can vote for your favorite. Just to wrap it up real quick, LZ had Friday the 13th, Texas Chainsaw Massacre, Rosemary, Salem's Lot, comes out with The Fly, Aliens, The Exorcist, and Scream. And then, of course, Travis goes with Halloween, Nightmare on Elm Street, The American Werewolf in London, and The Shining. Some good choices there. Good luck, gentlemen.
All right, there you go. That's I feel good, LZ, and I'm glad I got your vote. That's very exciting for me. I think that's the
first time I can't believe Key did that. Are you point shaving?
Watching about an hour how far in the league I'll be. Watch.
It's a going away present that he wanted to give me. That's good.
I ain't going nowhere. You kidding me?
You're going to third place is where you're going. You're starting over.
All right. Yeah. Lakers got some very bad news out of the bubble yesterday. How do they replace Rajon Rondo? That's coming up next on the morning show on 710 ESPN.